Good evening. Tonight we're going to be talking about Timothy. Timothy being a young man, most scholars can't agree what age he would have been, but he was a young man. And of course, he would have worked with Paul, and Paul would have sent him on to Ephesus to minister to them, to help them combat things like false doctrine and to help the congregation there grow. But what he would face while there, and what we see with Paul's first letter to Timothy, is that many there would have underestimated this young man. Of course, today there are people, congregations, that underestimate young people. Many assume that youth means weak, immaturity, recklessness, or lack of usefulness. And of course, yes, youth can be immature. It happens. It's part of growing. The older we get, the more mature we become. But sometimes, even in the church, young Christians are told directly or indirectly, wait until you are older before you can really serve God. Once again, Timothy is a good example of a young man working in a difficult environment, facing challenges in Ephesus, dealing with false teachers, church responsibilities, and the pressure of leadership. Paul's message to Timothy is still needed today. And so we need to understand that youth is not a disadvantage in the kingdom of God, as we see in our main text read this evening, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. As Paul tells Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Timothy was young enough that others might dismiss him. Whatever the age may be, he was young enough. Yet Paul did not tell him to become older. He told him to become exemplary. Excuse me. So consider how God often uses the young. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Then Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth while he has been a warrior from his youth. When we look at David in the time he went up against Goliath, he was a young man. He was not a seasoned warrior, someone who has been trained his whole life. He was a shepherd. But when David stood before Goliath, others saw a boy. God saw a man of faith. David was always looked at as a man after God's own heart. You know, we know David did not defeat Goliath on his own. It was with God's help that David would take down Goliath. Josiah was a young man when he began to seek the Lord. And then we go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, then I said, alas, Lord Yahweh, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But Yahweh said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Jeremiah, another example, along with David and Josiah, felt inadequate because of his youth. But God said his youth did not disqualify him. Jeremiah would go forth proclaiming the message God would send him with. We need to understand faithful young Christians are part of the church today, and they need to be given responsibilities. They need to be mentored, to be taught how to serve, because, and I've said this before, they are the future of the church. When the older generations pass, the younger generations will step up and take over the role. And so what does it mean? Let no one look down on your youthfulness. This phrase does not mean Timothy was to demand respect with arrogance. Once again, we see this phrase in our main text, 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 12. Young Christians must earn respect through godly example, as we see in the latter of this text. but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And so an example in speech, as we see in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Our speech reveals the heart. The words that come out of our mouth reveals what we are feeling. And it's not talking, of course, this heart, but this heart. And so if we have words, as Ephesians 4:29 talks about, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up what is needed, so that it will give grace to those who hear. When we allow unwholesome words, slander, anger to come out in words that tear people down, guess what? It's a sin. We've been commanded, let no unwholesome talk come out. We must use our speech to build up one another. And that goes with the youth as well. Of course, we need to show hard love, tough love is what I call it. But we are to be gentle. We are to help build them up, encourage them, and not disqualify them from serving, not to push them aside like they mean nothing. An example in love, John 13:35, but this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is a mark of true discipleship. For the young people, of course, they seek love, and they need to seek to love others. You know, we live in a violent world, a world full of hate, and it is so easy for the youth to be drawn in. What's interesting, I watched this documentary at one point, it was probably about a month or two ago. This one guy's life study was about belonging. Society needs more clubs. And that's what he studied. He studied his entire life, going through the statistics. He started back, I think, in the 60s. And he's still alive today. He lives in the UK. But when he noticed in some of the statistics, when clubs started going away, people had no purpose. People had no sense of belonging. And so he puts this towards the way the world is, why it's the way it is. Now, of course, we know sin. Sin is the biggest problem, and it has a solution, Jesus Christ. But for young people, they are looking for love. They are looking for people to help build them up. Conduct, being an example in conduct is another one. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Conduct means manner of life, not just say what we say, but how we live. And so, speech, conduct, and if we do well in those two areas, if the youth do well in those areas, they will be an example in love. They will show love. An example in faith, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. A faithful young Christian can influence an entire congregation. But not just a congregation, but out in the world as well. Our youth today are starting to come back towards God. We see that in the younger generations. And it's a wonderful thing to see. There are youth who are hungry for Christ, for truth. They're not going to get it out in the world. And so with our youth, you start with them within the church. You send them out. You train them. You mentor them. Send them out into the world to preach the gospel, to be examples in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith. You're going to see a lot of good things come about. An example in purity, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Young people today live in a morally polluted world. And we see that even as adults with entertainment, with sports, with hobbies, morally corrupt. Everywhere they turn, there is impurity. So it's not easy for them. You know, when you go back to the 40s and 50s, modesty was a big thing. You had a lot of people who wore clothing that was modest. You had entertainment. I mean, my wife and I discussed this. We watch I Love Lucy. What's interesting, they show them sleeping in two separate beds. And I always thought as a kid, is that how it was back in the day? Did they not sleep in one bed, husband and wife? Well, the reason they do that on TV, and I didn't know this until recently, they could not show or signal to the audience that there was any play going on. Even though they were married, didn't know that. That was interesting. But that shows you how much our world has changed, because now in entertainment, it's anything goes. In Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word, to God's word. A pure life stands out powerfully in an impure world. Once again, for young people, they need not to demand respect with arrogance, but to show themselves as an example in all these different areas. He was called to be an example, young Timothy was to be. Timothy had responsibilities beyond his age. Paul gave Timothy serious responsibilities, as we see in verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Timothy was to immerse himself in Scripture and teaching. I think it's important that we encourage the youth, young men, young women, to immerse themselves in Scripture and to grow and to eventually step up and teach. It's important, because if we're not teaching them how to teach a class, how to preach, how to do these things, how to serve, who's going to step up when it's needed? Some young Christians devote themselves to sports, careers, entertainment, hobbies, and personal success. And there's no problem with playing a sport. There's no problem with having a career. You need to make money. You need to live, provide for yourself and for your family. There's no problem with hobbies. But when it becomes and consumes your entire life, that's when it becomes a problem. Because when that consumes them, they give very little effort in growing in the Word of God. And it doesn't help when they see older folks giving more attention to these things, to these areas in life. You know, that's one thing I hate about social media. Anybody can grab a mic and do a video on social media nowadays. And there are so many influencers that put it into their minds, and I laugh about it. If you're not making enough money, get a side hustle. You mean get a second job? Because that's what it is. They just give it a cool name, side hustle. But it's all about money. It's all about becoming rich and famous in society today instead of living for God and putting God first. Young Christians should not waste the strength of youth on vanity. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days happen and the years draw near, in which you will say, I have no delight in them. The best time to serve God is not later, it is now. And spiritual growth requires deliberate effort, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice in this text here in verses 15 and 16. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. We go all the way back up to 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. immerse themselves in this. And guess what? Progress will be evident to all. If you look back at yourself 30, 40 years ago when you were youth, when you were first serving, maybe even preaching and teaching, it should be evident of your progress. You should be able to see that growth within yourself. Because Timothy was not supposed to drift into usefulness. He wasn't drifting to it. It was deliberate. He was to practice these things. Paul says, so that your progress will be evident to all. Practice makes perfect. And for these young people, that's what's needed. Practice. But for us as well, we need to be practicing these things, no matter what, how old you are. And so, finally, we need young Christians today. The church needs faithful young people now. And I know it's hard because the youth are caught up. But there is a shift coming, and it's happening now. We just need to encourage these young people. We need to encourage them to be strong and to help them understand they are not alone. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, being reminded of the unhypocritical faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it is in you as well. It's so easy for elders, deacons, and preachers to be the ones to help develop young people, but it needs to be the whole church, not just the preacher, not just the leaders. The whole church needs to help develop these young people, not ignore them. You know, sadly, it does happen. And that's why there are congregations, as we speak, that are shutting down. They are ignoring the young people. They are pushing them aside. We need to help develop the young people we have now. And that will pay off in time. Once again, I don't know the slang of Gen Z today. I can tell you some slang from when I was a kid in the 90s. I think one of the slang was cool beans. I get called old when I say that. I'm only 32. But we need to get to know them, help them grow, be around them. We need young Christians who love the Lord, who know the scriptures, respect biblical authority, seek truth, serve with zeal, remain faithful in a compromising age. We must be the example for these young men and women. That's what it comes down to. As Paul tells Titus in his letter to Titus, older men, be examples to the younger men. Older women, be examples to the younger women. If we are not getting to know these young people and help encourage them, and even get to where they're comfortable with talking to us about problems they have, we're going to lose them. They're going to go astray. And we need to help so much, not just the preacher or elders or deacons, but everyone, the church. It's vital that we do. There are so many young people out there who are lost, who are struggling. And even us, I struggle. I still struggle. I'm sure some of you do too. But we need to be examples. And so tonight, if you're not a Christian, I pray and hope that you've heard the message and that you believe it. But not only believe, but that you obey. And this is how you do it. This is how you obey the gospel. You must hear, believe, repent, which means change. You're changing everything about yourself and turning back to God. And then you confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then you are immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That means living for God each and every day, surrendering daily. Or if you were a Christian and have gone astray, there's still time to make it right and to be reconciled to God. Just come forward this evening. The church is here to assist you in any way. We're not here to throw you out. We're not here to hate. We love you. We want you to go to heaven with us. So this evening, if there's anyone here who needs any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.